Representative Bellamy.
Mr. Chairman, I have since learned that if the language above the be enacted, then it is not printed as part of the, it's not put into the ORS. There are going to be some members on the floor of the House that are going to have a difficult time in voting for this bill because of the parents' rights versus the child's rights. And there's been some significant compromises here. I think some of those people might find it a little easier to support this bill if they did not have to look at this first paragraph of legislative policy and know that it was going into the statutes.
Okay. Mr. King, as one of the sponsors, do you have any strong feelings on that issue?
No, sir.
He indicates he does not. Is there further discussion of that amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
With that, I would move House Bill 2651 as amended. No subsequent referral, is it? To the floor to be passed recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2651 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
He's right back there.
Yeah, he does want to.
Clerk will call the roll on the motion on the bill as amended to the floor.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Lund?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Paxton?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Bunn?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, 2516.
Mr. Chairperson, this deals with abandoned museum property. There were amendments at the subcommittee which would require the museum property to give notice to lend it to the museum, and it would also require an owner, a lender, to notify the museum of any change of address or change of ownership. The problem arises when lenders of property leave their property with the museum for several years and become lost. Run storage costs, run insurance costs, sometimes people forget about them.
Okay, were there any amendments?
We adopted Representative Anderson's amendments 2516-1.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy?
I would move House Bill 2516 to the floor as amended to pass.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2516 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Just a question.
Representative Phillips.
When you, on second page, it's the responsibility of the owner to notify the museum promptly in writing. How come you didn't say within 90 days or 60 days, which is the standard procedure when someone moves? I think promptly is kind of one of those terms. What it means to me and what it means to somebody else might be different. It's just a question.
Well, I'm a little reluctant to act without a chance to confer with Representative Anderson. It's possible that maybe that issue can be spoken to more specifically in floor debate or questions, or we can make a clear statement of intent at that time. I don't know what the effect of the failure to provide prompt notice would be, or to if you didn't provide it within 60 days or 90 days. I don't think there would be any sanction, really. I think prompt notice may be about as specific in that context as we can get. But again, if Representative Anderson has some more specific statement of intent he wants to make part of the record on the floor, that might be the time to do so. Any further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on the motion on 2516.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Paxton?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. We'll contact Representative Anderson again as a prime sponsor and assume that he wants to carry the bill. Representative Miller's requested that we take 2711 out of order. We will do so at this time, Council.
This is a rather famous little bill. It comes to you from your criminal justice committee.
2711.
This bill is quite simple. It would create a crime of knowing or reckless discharge of firearms. Well, basically what it does is it prevents people from discharging firearms in unincorporated areas within 200 yards of any dwelling, school, place of worship, or store. There have been some incidents in Oregon where people have shot off their firearms where they've endangered either property or people within a shorter distance. The subcommittee discussed whether 200 yards is appropriate or not. They decided to leave 200 yards in the bill, and they passed it from the subcommittee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move 2711, House Bill 2711, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Miller moves House Bill 2711 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Melanie?
Aye.
Bun?
Aye.
Burton?
I'm sorry.
Chairman, aye.
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 Kretzky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Miller, I assume you would like the honors on this.
I'd be delighted, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Subtitled the Save Bambi Bill. 2256 is the next on our printed agenda. However, the subcommittee chair, Representative Kopensky, has asked that we continue this to our next full committee hearing. Is that correct, Representative?
Yes, or thereabouts.
That's true. Okay, unless there's objection to that, we will carry over 2256. Next bill is 2222.
Chairperson, this bill is from the Corporation Commissioner. There are extensive changes in order to clarify the duties and obligations of the Corporation Commissioner. What it would do is modernize certain record keeping functions. It would change some standards. And we have in front of us substantial amendments, designated 2222-2 to the bill. The commissioner of the Corporation Division has taken care of the agricultural co-op problem. We were going to raise an issue put forth by Tim Wood of the Department of Justice on Section 83, and we also took care of most of Mr. Lee Wilbert's concerns.
And the amendments, are there any package of materials before us here?
Yes.
These are the amendments, right. And they were adopted in subcommittee?
In the non-legislative council form. They would have to
re-adopt it. Okay. And are there any subsequent re-referrals on this measure?
No.
Okay. Representative Bunn?
I would move House Bill 2222.
I think we need to re-adopt these amendments, okay. Or that would probably be advisable.
I would so move.
Thank you. Representative Bunn moves adoption of the amendments prepared by Legislative Council designated as 2222-2, bearing today's date. Any discussion on those amendments? Any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2222 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Excuse me for a moment, Representative Bunn. Let me back up a moment. There was the amendments that Mr. Wood had suggested for our consideration. And I think I'd indicated to the subcommittee that I would look for an opportunity to discuss those amendments with Mr. Wood and bring them to the full committee. And I have done so. Those amendments which were proposed, President Bellamy, I think we had hoped to have some discussion. Apparently, it's Mr. Wood's request or concern that if it's appropriate to go ahead and to require some tracking, if you will, or registration of bingo for those who operate bingo games, and he felt that it was also appropriate that the Department of Justice should have rulemaking authority as it relates to record keeping and inspection, and also have the authority to apply to the circuit court for an order adjoining the operation if a person operating bingo or lotto game fails to comply with those regulations of the Department of Justice. Now, I don't know if we had had copies of those amendments made available or distributed earlier. I guess before we take the motion, before I'd like to see if there's any further discussion or what the sentiment might be in terms of adoption of those amendments proposed by Mr. Wood.
Chairman.
Representative Burton.
You're saying that these amendments were not adopted?
They were not adopted in subcommittee. We wanted, I think, some time to review them. I took the opportunity to discuss the need in some further detail of Mr. Wood, and apparently with the transfer, or what's felt to be would be the appropriate transfer of this kind of registration from the Corporation Commission to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice Representative Mr. Wood, who works in their financial fraud section, felt that there should be some rulemaking authority for the Department of Justice in order that they could, in fact, require disclosure of certain records so that they could exercise that authority.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend House Bill 2222 to include the amendments recommended by the Department of Justice in Section 83, which is sub 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Representative Burton moves adoption of the amendments identified as those prepared and submitted by the Department of Justice, which would be amendments to Section 83 of the bill as amended. Representative Bunn.
Could I just ask what kind of bad things happen if we don't adopt these amendments? Just
The real question is how many bad things will happen if we don't adopt his amendments?
I don't want to slow the process down, but I just, if there's someone who can explain in simple language exactly what we're doing by adopting these amendments, or what will happen if we don't.
As I understand where we're at now, the Corporation Commissioner doesn't want what is now, I guess, the existing authority to somehow regulate or maintain some registry of the bingo or lotto operations. And what Mr. Wood has suggested is that if, in fact, that authority is transferred to the Department of Justice, where he feels it's appropriate, that in order to exercise that authority or responsibility, he feels that they should have rulemaking authority as specified in the amendment. And I think it's his concern that unless they have that opportunity to enforce or to adopt rules and then to enforce them as it relates to maintaining records and filing information required by the department or making those records available for inspection, basically the Attorney General's office or the Justice Department is not going to be able to have any meaningful regulatory authority in that area.
Sure.
Representative Bond.
Do we have any idea how broad that rulemaking power is and whether it's comparable to their other rulemaking power?
I would have to assume it's reasonably broad for the purposes that are stated in the amendment itself, which is basically that the charitable fraternal religious organizations would be required to notify the Department of Justice and maintain records and provide information to the department as they shall by rule require. And I don't have any more specific information, just what kind of records he might be speaking to, and also that they make available for inspection those records during their normal business hours. Representative Burton?
Well, I want to point out that what essentially is happening right now, if you have a bingo or a lottery game, you register those with the Commerce Department, and if a complaint usually comes up or there's an issue with it, it usually is dealt with by the Justice Department. Effectively, what was occurring here is to say, why don't you just put these files directly with the Justice Department to take care of it over that way. So it says you're really moving administratively, moving these over, and then giving them the authority to go ahead and set up those procedures. It happens apparently in any case. It just takes two steps to get through.
In my discussion with Mr. Wood, I made it pretty clear to him, and I'm sure it's probably no secret that I look upon further grants of authority to the Department of Justice and the Attorney General's office about as closely as anyone. But Mr. Wood was able to convince me that they were prepared to exercise this responsibility in a manner that would not be burdensome to those who are engaged in these kind of activities. And he certainly understands the context of the bingo bill last session, and I think he's very much aware, as I assume the Department of Justice is, that this is not a signal to try to backdoor the kinds of things that were in that bill, but to give them means to effectively carry out their responsibilities. Representative Kopetsky?
Mr. Chair, well, I guess I have a question. It seems like the Department of Justice, I mean, every state agency they have, there's always this little thing where they can adopt rules, you know, generally to carry out the purposes of their powers, and I don't see where they even, you know, even need to say it, repeat that another time. This seems like also, I mean, they're talking about investigations and applying to the circuit court. I would bet that all of a sudden it's got to have a fiscal impact. I mean, about every other bill that, you know, we have, it says the Attorney General will do this or that. You know, it always costs money to do that sort of stuff, and so, you know, we adopt this, I guess we'd have to send it down to Ways and Means. I don't know if the Corporation Commissioner would really appreciate our sending this bill down to Ways and Means, just, you know, so that the Attorney General could get some rulemaking authority, which I think they already have. So I think I might respectfully oppose the representative from North Portland's motion.
A lot of bingo on
that. I know my aunt goes out there in North Portland. Goes
okay.
To the church.
Okay, is there any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Delaney?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Gretzky?
Nope.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Representative Bunn?
Chairman, just as I make the motion to pass this bill, I'd like to say for the record, there are members of the committee that are still concerned that the Corporation Commissioner move as swiftly as possible to make telephone contact with that office more accessible. I know she's doing that. I just want to continue to encourage that. I would move House Bill 2222 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you. Representative Bunn moves House Bill 2222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Delaney?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Gretzky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers?
Mrs. Edwards.
Representative Burton.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Billman.
I'd like to just thank the Jane Edwards, the corporate division, and her staff. I think she's brought us some very good amendments to the clarification of law and tried to improve it. I compliment her on that.
Okay. I would like to, because we have a couple folks here who I know everyone's waiting on these bills, but can we take up 2460 just briefly? I don't believe we have any work in full committee, I hope.
We do.
How much?
Well, it's one amendment.
Okay. Council, what's the one amendment?
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
Well?
Money for it.
This,
this is a result, as I understand, of a compromise between CSD, the Juvenile Rights Project, and Pascal Hill. Is that correct? Because at the end of the last subcommittee meeting, Mr. Chair, you asked CSD and Mr. Phillips and Juvenile Rights folks to get together and see if they could come up with a compromise on language and resolve some of the problems that CSD had with Bill.
Okay. This is not obviously an LC form.
No.
Why don't we take just a moment to review it? Basically, it requires that motion for intervention on a prima facie case, unless that's made, it could be dismissed. Is that correct?
If you recall, the subcommittee question about what do they mean by what would be meant by emotional ties, and this would clarify that the judge has to find a prima facie case that there was an actual emotional tie developed in the sense of a child-parent relationship. For the person who was not a parent who wanted to have standing in court to argue whether they should have rights to visitation or adoption or to some of the other custody.
Representative Bunn?
I just have a question. The very bottom part says, or if intervention is not in the best interest of the child. How can you determine that without having a hearing to determine that question? I mean, if you can see prima facie on the face that there is no tie, the facts that are recited don't have any emotional tie, it seems perhaps a judge could make a summary judgment on that. But if the intervention is not in the best interest of the child is a somewhat complicated issue, it seems to me we create problems by building that in and not seeing how a judge is going to decide that.
Mr. Chair.
Counsel?
I didn't write the amendment, so perhaps Ms. McFarland or Ms. Pearson could speak to those amendments. I don't have an answer just by reading because I'm not sure at what point in the process the judge would be making this determination. Perhaps the judge would already have heard other facts so that he could make that determination from previous facts at this prima facie time. I don't know. I don't know enough about it procedurally to be able to answer your question.
Ms. McFarland, can you help us here briefly?
Julie McFarland, Juvenile Rights Project. The motion would be on a hearing. It would be a pretrial motion, and there would be a hearing. There would be an opportunity for both sides to present evidence. In terms of the motion for intervention.
Aren't you, in effect, going to try the issue itself by trying that element pretrial?
I think probably that could happen. However, motions for intervention wouldn't be that common in these cases.
What would be the problem if we just took out that last portion of the amendment?
Well, the purpose of the amendment was to meet CSD's objection that there might be some cases in which foster parents or persons who clearly really didn't have enough of a tie filed motions or petitions in court in order to for harassment purposes, and this was to allow the court to dismiss those clearly unworthy cases. And if you only leave in the first part, you're only allowing dismissal of a petition. you're not allowing dismissal of a motion for intervention.
Representative Bond.
But if you eliminate the last part, all you're doing is saying that that issue has to be dealt with in full hearing. Isn't that correct? Would you have strong objection if that last part was taken out?
These amendments are to satisfy CSD. I have no strong objections to eliminating any part.
I would move the amendments except for the portion F, including the word or and thereafter.
Okay. Representative Bunn moves the amendments before us, but deletes that portion of the handwritten amendments beginning the word or if through the end of the line and inserts a period after the word relationship. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Does this replace the language in sub 2?
No.
Of the bill? This is an addition?
415.
This is subsection 2 of section 2.
It's an addition.
It would be added to.
It'd be added to.
Well, are you looking at this version?
No, it's not. I have not directed the committee to the fact that we have with the substitute bill that's in front of you attached to a stipulated analysis. That's how to be
done.
Well, I just got the third summons down to caucus, so we're going to take a recess and think about this issue during recess, and when we return, we'll take it up. Now, I just had some advice at caucus, maybe 15 minutes. I don't know why they're pulling us away for 15 minutes now, but members I know are going to, we're not going to caucus, are going to want to return to their offices, but if they could remain on call, so if we can come back and work before the floor session, hopefully we won't lose too much time. So we'll be in recess, we hope not much longer this afternoon. Discussing whether or not that amendment was going to be appropriate or that deletion. Ms. Pearson, you're one of the people who's, I guess, identified as some responsibility for this amendment. Judge Norblad, why don't we hear from both of you at this point?
Al Norblad, and I'm here representing Oregon Families. Pascal's got a cold and sick. The issue is, I think everybody agrees that this bill is an excellent bill. The problem is, there are a lot of cases which ought not go and take all the court time. And people would be filing frivolous cases. We're trying to figure out a way, and this is CSD's concern, and it's a very valid concern. We're trying to figure out a way to get those type of cases out early without having to go through a full hearing. And one of the suggestions is the wording, crossing out the last part that Representative Bunn had problems with and putting in there, or does not allege facts that the intervention is in the best interest of the child. And that way it could be handled without a hearing, but just if they don't plead parent-child relationship, or if they don't plead facts that show the best interest, then the court can dismiss the petition. And I think that, I would hope that would handle your objections.
Representative Bond.
Is it clear that it's limited to those fact circumstances, though? If they don't plead that, they'd have to plead that on the face. What you're saying is they'd have to plead it on the face of whatever instrument, or the judge could throw it out. But if they've pled it, you're saying that this amendment wouldn't be used then by the judge to say that there is not sufficient best interest of the children to throw it out. What would keep the judge from doing that?
The judge could look at the pleadings, decide whether it reflected that it was in the best interest. If he decided it was not, he could boot them out. If he decided that they have pled facts which allege that it's in the best interest of the child, then it would go to a hearing.
Okay.
Representative Glenn.
Just say that on the face of the instrument, it is pled that it's in the best interest of the child. Is that, and if the amendment were accepted in its original form, is there anything that would keep the judge from just ruling that it wasn't in the best interest of the child and booting the case out?
Certainly not. A judge can rule any way he wants. I suppose the only thing that keeps him from doing it is the embarrassment of being reversed on appeal.
I guess I'm having trouble.
You know, she did that to me in her divorce case. She appealed me and got me reversed.
I guess I'm having trouble understanding if where the judge would normally kick it out is where it wasn't pled on the face. As a matter of course, everybody's just going to plead it on the face of the instrument, and then that portion of the amendment is meaningless.
Well, that's why we have in here facts. They've got to plead facts. Not just simply that it is in the best interest of the child, but they've got to plead facts showing it's in the best interest of the child. Representative Bunn, it's a difficult area, and clearly if somebody else can find a better way to do it, we just want to kick those cases.